44. Number 44. This is a true story. Into a tent where
a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me.
There's a fourth verse to this hymn. I wonder how many remembered. Let's try it. Whisper. I got it wrong. Who can help me get it right?
Smiling.
Smiling. That's it. Thank you. Smiling, he said. We need to sometimes revive our rusty memories. And it just occurred to me as we were singing this song that there was a verse that I remembered singing that I didn't see on this hymn sheet. And this is a true story about a boy who was dying in a tent. He was a gypsy, and a person came to visit him to tell him the way of salvation, and he believed it. And one of my concerns this morning is that we believe what we're hearing and what we're talking about. And I look at this front row here, and we were singing, and some of the boys and girls didn't look like they were paying much attention to what when they were singing. It's important to pay attention. God expects us to pay attention. All right, how about another song? Yes. Number 43.
One door and only one, and his eyes are two. Inside and outside, on which side are you? One door and only one, and yet his eyes are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you?
What door is that? We're all inside the room here. What door are we singing about? Yes. The door to get to heaven, right. The door of salvation. There is such a thing as being inside or outside. You know, some people are going to be left outside forever. And we don't know when that door is going to be shut, so it's good to get on the inside. You know, it's interesting. I think it's interesting at conferences to see when it's lunchtime or supper time, people listen to the announcements about where to go and how to get to the meals, and the kids get the message. They're right up first the line. They make sure they get inside.
Are you going to be inside heaven? Going to be there? It's important. I was here last night when some people came through after they stopped giving away tickets here at the top of the stairs. And these people are a little concerned about how they're going to manage to get some supper because there's no one there to give them a ticket. They were late. Let's not be late for salvation. All right, how about a choice from this side? Oh, okay, a white shirt. Number 25. All right, this is a long one. Let's just sing the first verse and the chorus. It goes right along with what we're just saying, doesn't it? Life at
death is very green, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheet in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time.
Number 26. Okay, very nice. Number 26.
There is life in a love at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for me. Look.
right. Who has, shall we say, one more from the back page? Yes. 46. All right. We've had this word tidings already this morning. Remember we sang about the gypsy boy. It says, did he so love me, a poor little boy, send unto me this, the good tidings of joy, the good news. Tidings is an old word for news. And so it says, glad tidings I bring that Jesus has come to save me. And he calls, all the girls, and he wants all the boys, too. There's some girls, I think, might not want all the boys sometimes. But he calls all the boys, too, to trust in him and have all their sins now washed away. Wonderful thing to have your sins washed away now. Number 46. God's help. Our God and Father, this we have a memory verse. I'm not going to talk much about the memory verse, but I think some of you memorized it. Is there anybody who would like to say the memory verse? Well, good. I'm glad to see a volunteer. Go ahead. You need some help. I'm going to have to look it up myself. I think it's Psalms 91, verse 4. He shall cover.
He shall cover thee with his wings, and under thy feathers shalt thou trust.
Okay, Psalm 91. Very good. All right. You're a brave boy there. Anyone else? All right, Paul.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalm
91.
91:4.
Good. Anybody else? Yep. Good. Go ahead. Right, good. Anybody else? Okay. Good. Anybody else? Go ahead. Very good.
He shall cover him with his wings.
And?
And?
Under his wings.
Under his wings.
Shalt thou trust.
Shalt thou trust.
Psalm 91:4. Okay.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalm 91:4.
Okay, good. He shall cover thee.
He shall cover thee.
With his feathers.
With his feathers.
And under his wings. Shalt thou trust? Psalm 91:4. Good. Nobody has to do it. But I don't want to miss anybody that wants to do it. Do you want to do it? Okay. He shall cover.
He shall cover.
Thee with his feathers.
Thee with his feathers.
And under his wings.
And under his wings.
Shalt thou trust.
Shalt thou trust.
Psalm 91:4. Good. Okay. All right.
He shall cover thee with his feathers.
And under his wings.
And under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalm 91:4.
Psalm 91. Very good. Yes.
He shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalm 91:4.
Good. Good.
He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under thy wings shall I thou trust. Psalm 91.
Good.
He shall cover thee with his wings, and under his wings. Sorry. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Oh wait.
That's good.
Okay.
And under.
And under his wings shalt thou trust. Psalms 91:4.
Good. Now, there's a lot of people back there glad they didn't have to, they weren't sitting in the front row, and glad their parents weren't expecting them to say this verse. Not the easiest verse. Let me talk about it just briefly. I didn't miss anybody, I hope. If I miss anybody, somebody speak up. I got poor vision. All right. You know, We sing a song, as a bird beneath her feathers guards the objects of her care, so the Lord his children gathers, spreads his wings, and hides them there. And this is a picture that God has given us to show us how he cares for us. You know, the Lord Jesus went and overlooked Jerusalem, and he wept, saying, how often would I have gathered you as a hen gathers her chickens, and you wouldn't come. And God desires to be a shelter for us. And so that's what this verse is about. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. I hope everyone here knows what it is to trust in the shelter that God provides. But I actually had a different subject on my heart today. I wonder how many, this is, it's amazing what kids remember. Who remembers, and if a child doesn't remember, let's see what the adults, how the adults do. Who remembers the first hymn, or something about the first hymn we sang yesterday? We got together for the prayer meeting. Anybody remember what hymn it was? No? It made an impression on me, and that's why I remember. Normally, I wouldn't remember. But we sang the hymn, mid scenes of confusion and creature complaints, how sweet to the soul is communion with saints. To find at the banquet of mercy, there's room to feel in communion a foretaste of home. And you know that phrase, the banquet of mercy, stuck with me. I thought of us sitting down here in this room, and God provided this room, and God brought us all here safely to feed us. What's a banquet? Who can tell me what a banquet is? Yes.
Dinner.
A dinner. Is it a big dinner or a little dinner? Yeah, if you see something, if you see a frozen TV dinner that says banquet, don't believe it. Right, a banquet is a big dinner. What's another word for a big dinner? Another word for a big dinner that's really good. Yes?
Feast.
Good, I knew. Yeah, I knew somebody would know what that is. A banquet is like a feast. Yeah. By the way, I have to say that we eat awfully good at this conference. Did you agree? Lots of good food here. Well, I want to talk about feasts in the Bible, But I want to talk about the particular kind of person who comes to a feast. And I'm going to illustrate it. Any idea what these things are? Nobody knows what these are? What are they? Good. Things to hold signs. Now, let's try something here. Now, what do they remind you of? Crutches, right. What kind of people use crutches? Now, by the way, I'm not going to put my weight on these things because these really aren't designed to be crutches, and I don't want to test them. But what kind of people use crutches? Yeah, cripples. People that have problems walking. And you know something? We're all cripples. We all have trouble walking through life. We all stumble. We all are cripples. We're crippled by sin. Now I want to show you something in the Scripture that I've enjoyed. We'll put away these silly crutches. And let's turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And it says here in verse 16, a certain man made a great supper. That's a feast, a great supper. And he bade many and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And the servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now, this is a picture of the heart of God. God sends out an invitation. And God's heart is always the same. When God says, come, He always means to bless us. And here's this man, it says here, a certain man made a great supper and he invited many. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. What's an excuse? What's an excuse?
When you say something to get out of.
Yeah, exactly. When you say something to get out of something, it's a way to escape responsibility. Is an excuse a good thing or a bad thing? Good thing or a bad thing? Bad, yeah. You know, I remember our brother Paul Jevon once preaching, and I don't remember a thing he said that night except for one thing. It really stuck with me. He said, an excuse is the thin skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And you know, that stuck with me because by the time I heard that, I got pretty good at making excuses. And that stuck with me. An excuse is the thin skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. And I can't say it the way he did. An excuse is the thin skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Let's remember that. When someone says, it's time to do your homework, or you didn't do your homework, or you didn't wash the dishes, or you didn't mow the lawn, or you didn't do what you're supposed to do, and you start to make an excuse. And you try to make it sound good, but it's not really good. We just agreed that excuses are bad. Thin skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Well, let's Let's not be guilty of excuses like these people were. And you would think this man who was insulted, an excuse is an insult, you know. And here's this generous host. He makes this big feast, this banquet, and he invites a lot of people, and all of them say no. And they make excuses. They give him a bunch of lies. And you'd think, well, what's he going to do? He doesn't give up. He says to his servants, all right, go out quickly into the lanes and streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Now, the poor, lots of people poor, you know, in the world. Maimed means injured. Halt means crippled. We just talked about people who are crippled and the blind. God invites cripples to his feast. Look around this room. We got a room full of cripples here. Every one of us, we're crippled by sin. We have faults. We have things that hinder us. And you know, the worst crippled people are the people who don't think they're crippled. That's the worst. God invites cripples. You know, I was thinking about this last night, and I thought of a story. Short story. About a cripple. I was preaching the gospel in Upperton Talon, Nova Scotia, about 35 years ago. And I was talking about a story about a cripple we find in the Bible in Acts chapter 5. There was a crippled man at the door of the temple. I talked about that story, and like I said, I don't have very good eyesight, and it's kind of dark toward the back of the tent, and I didn't notice that a boy, 19 years old, had come in on crutches. His name was Tommy. But I found out about it because after I was done speaking, he came up to me, and he was angry. He thought that when I was talking about cripples in the Bible, I was talking about him. And he was angry. I told him, sorry, Tom, I didn't even see you back there. But God did. And you know, he realized that. And Tommy got saved. He was ready to listen. And this is my concern for you boys and girls this morning. You come and you sing and you look off in space. Are you ready to listen? It's not important that you understand everything at first. Tommy didn't understand. He thought I was making fun of him, but one thing that connected, he realized he was focusing on himself. He took it personally. You learned a verse for Sunday school this morning. Have you taken it personally? Have you yourself trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? This is very personal. You got up this morning and you put on your own clothes. That was personal. You ate breakfast. You fed yourself. That was personal. God's brought you here to feast, to feed yourself from His Word. It's personal. I want to talk about another feast. Now let me ask you a question. Here's a table. Is that a big table or a little table? What do you think? Little table. Is that a good table for a feast?
No.
You don't think so. Well, we'll see. I'll explain something to you. Does that look like a feast? No, it doesn't. Well, let's keep going here. Does that look like a feast? You know, there's different kinds of feasts in the Bible. And when we talk about feasts, we think about eating lots of food. But there's other kinds of feasts in life too, you know. When I was a boy, my parents used to take me to a park called the Park of Roses. And we got there when it was just when the roses were blooming. And that was a feast for the nose. Why would I say that? Yes. It smelled wonderful. You walk into acres of roses, and I tell you, it smells wonderful. And it was a feast for the eyes, because it looked nice. Now maybe, when you came in here this morning, you heard something else. You heard some music. I happen to know what was playing over the PA system here. It's a recording by an artist named Jaime Jorge, who plays hymns beautifully, and he's a feast for the ears. So there's different ways we can feast. And I want to show you a little verse in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapters, that's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Jeremiah is right past Isaiah. Isaiah is a big book, and then comes Jeremiah. Jeremiah 16, and verse 7, it says, "Neither shall men," and I want you to notice what the margin reads here, "neither shall men break bread for them in mourning, to comfort them for the dead, neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother." There was a custom the Jews had that when they, maybe once a year, they would commemorate, or on a special occasion, they'd commemorate the memory of somebody who they cared about. And they would take a little loaf of bread, and they took a cup of wine, and they would pass it among themselves in memory of that loved one. It wasn't a feast for the body. It was a feast for the heart. A feast of memorial. A memorial feast. It was a feast for the heart. But let me ask you, what does this remind you of? Who can tell me what this reminds you of? Yes.
Passover. The Passover.
Yes, when the Lord Jesus, the Passover, when the Lord Jesus gave his disciples the instructions to remember him in his death. Just as they had been used to remembering other people, that was the Jewish custom. He said, "Remember me this way." And he told them what the bread meant and what the wine meant. What is the bread a picture of? When we remember the Lord Jesus, what is the bread a picture of? Yes. His body. It's a feast for the heart. We remember the Lord Jesus died for us in his own body. He suffered and he bore our sins. Let me ask you a question. Is it better to eat the feast or be a spectator? Who knows what a spectator is? What's a spectator? What is a spectator? What's a spectator? Somebody who watches. Do you like to watch people eat? What's better, to watch somebody eat or eat yourself? Yeah, better to do it yourself, isn't it? Especially if they're eating something good. Now, so we remember that the bread reminds us of the body of the Lord Jesus given for us. And the wine is a picture of what? Yes. What does the wine remind us of? The blood of the Lord Jesus. Very good. You know, it's amazing what children remember and understand. The Lord Jesus said, "Do this." And it says in 1 Corinthians 5, we won't turn to it, but there's five words in 1 Corinthians 5, "Let us keep the feast." Who do you suppose the us is? Who's the us it's talking about in that scripture? Yes, who? Good point. Members of the body of Christ, Christians, believers, let us keep the feast. Well, Scripture says, let us keep the feast. The Lord Jesus says, this do. Now I want to talk about somebody else who is invited to a feast real quickly. Our time is almost up, but turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. Excuse me, 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant, whose name was Ziba. And when they called him unto David, the king said to him, art thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son who is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel and Lodabar. And King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he said, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore unto thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? We'll stop there for a minute. Mephibosheth. How many here have heard that name before? Yeah, Mephibosheth. It's a long name. Long name. If you were going to give Mephibosheth a nickname, what might it be? Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. What would be a good name? Hard one? Well, I'd like to tell you how I do it. I like the fact that it starts with M-E. I like to identify myself with Mephibosheth. It's a story about me too. I'm a cripple. And the Lord Jesus has called me to himself. Just like Mephibosheth. And it says here of Mephibosheth, David said to him, you shall eat at my table continually. Mephibosheth, this is your privilege. And I want you to know that God wants every one of us to feast in all the ways we can with all the things he's provided. He's given us fellowship here at the conference. He's given us his word. He gives us opportunities to spend time with himself. And he gives us the breaking of bread. These feasts that God gives us, do we take advantage of them? Well, David said to Mephibosheth, you eat at my table. Then, oh, by the way, was eating at the, this is the king speaking. David was the king. Do you suppose anybody could eat at David's table? Suppose some guy was just traveling through Jerusalem and he's hungry. Could he just walk into the palace and sit down at David's table? What do you think? Do you think anybody could eat at the king's table that wanted to? Just anybody? What do you think? No. No, you can't do that. I don't know of any king in the world that lets anybody just come in. You can't just do that. He was the king. His table is special. The king wasn't running a restaurant. It was his table. This was the, shall I say, the table in the palace. It was the royal table. And so David did two things here. He said to Mephibosheth, you eat. And then he authorized it. He said, notice what he says here. Verse 9, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to his house, Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, this is a public statement, not just of Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's son. The king made it official. He not only spoke to Mephibosheth, he made it official. Because not just everybody could eat at the king's table. It had to be official. It had to be someone clearly designated as accepted at the king's table. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Here he is, a cripple. David was just like the Lord, wasn't he? He invited a cripple to eat at his table. We're all cripples, and God wants us all to feast. That's his heart. And yet people refuse. We make excuses. And God says, come eat. I want you to notice three phrases here and then I'm done. Time's up. Just about up. But notice there's three short phrases that summarize this whole story. Verse 7, it says, David said to Mephibosheth, thou shalt. That was his privilege. Thou shalt. Look at verse 11. The king says to Ziba, he shall. That made it official. And then verse 13, speaking of Mephibosheth, he did. He did. He did what the king appointed and what the king had made official. He did it. He took advantage of his privilege. Is everybody here willing to take advantage of the riches of God's goodness? God wants every one of us to enjoy his feast, his banquet, his provision. The Bible is full. It's a full revelation of the riches of God's grace. If you're ever hungry, you know where you can go. Go to God. You got some kind of hunger in your heart? You're not satisfied? Go to God. He can satisfy it. He gave us the Lord Jesus. And every Lord's Day morning, it's our privilege to feast our hearts, to remember the ultimate gift that God gave, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.